Harris stepped outside. Captain Sigind was a lean, tough man a decade younger than she, whose expression hardly wavered when he saw he was to be briefed by an older woman in hunting attire. Harris laid out the situation as far as she knew it, and he nodded.
I know Bandon, of course, and something of the other islands. Haven't been there in a couple of years, but here's the layout.
He pulled out a map display and flicked through the file. Bandon came up in a standard military format, with topo lines and color codings for vegetation types.
The landing field's here, with shuttle extension into these woods. When they expanded the field, they cleared a little place at the lodge itself for small flitters, right here. It's grass, not paving. It'd be real handy if we knew how many were at the lodge and how many on this other island.
All I know about is one shuttle load, and I don't even know if it was troop-fitted or civilian.
Ah, you're military?
I was. Regular space service.
Any ground combat experience?
No, not myself. That's...
Why you didn't rush into this like a damn fool. Smart. But you see our problem.
Of course. You need to know how many they are, what their resources are, and which of Lord Thornbuckle's employees are on their side.
The outrange supervisor, for one. I'm sure of that, because it's his responsibility to know who's on which settlement and when. They'd have needed his codes to get the Bandon beacon functioning for their shuttle.
And someone at that station, where the charter yacht that launched the shuttle came from, because I understand that the use of private shuttles isn't permitted.
Right. But back to you. You say this man Lupescu is part of some sporting club? Most sportsmen have self-imposed limits on the weaponry they'll use. Or is he a trophy hunter type?
I don't know.
Lord Thornbuckle came out. The bony face, Harris had once considered amiable but weak, now looked anything but amiable.
Complete shuttle records for the past 30 days. The same station where that charter's berthed has launched twice its normal quota of shuttles. Cargo and supplies, most of them were said to be, for Bandon Lodge. We don't land supplies for Bandon there very often, not off-world supplies. Certainly not at this season. One of my commsats recorded the same conversation your officer picked up, Captain Serrano, as well as these.
He handed over strips of hard copy, which Harris glanced at.
I've relieved the station master there and put old Hogan in charge. I know he's loyal, at least. Suspended all shuttle flights and all communications with the explanation of power problems on the station. If I understand correctly, there are fewer than 20 people who've taken shuttles like the one Lupescu was on. All but one have returned to the station. You were right, Captain Serrano, that they were fitted for civilian luxury use with a total capacity of 10 passengers and carried less. Here are the latest satellite images of Bandon and the adjacent islands. There's some cloud interference, apparently a storm overnight.
Harris and the militia captain leaned over them. Three shots of Bandon, 5 minutes apart, and two of each adjacent island. They looked at the Bandon pictures first. One atmospheric shuttle stood on the end of the runway. No other vehicles were near it. Three flitters were parked on an apron off to one side in two pictures, and only two in the third and last. A tiny blob the captain identified as an electric ground car moved along the narrow driveway between the landing field and the lodge. Comparing the three pictures, they could tell that it had left the lodge for the field, and then a flitter had taken off. On the islands to the east, south, and west, four in all, the captain found nothing remarkable, though heavy clouds still clung to the peaks of the eastern island. But on the island to the north, they saw what they were looking for. A flitter on the east beach, hatch open. A flitter parked on the south end of the island, another a few hundred meters offshore as if approaching. They could see nothing on the visual of the island's center. It, too, was cloaked in cloud.
We have continuous loops, of course, and we can get infrared and radar images. But it seems to me that's enough to go on.
Right, sir. We'll need all the Homestead militia and those at the neck. Day and night gear, both, full armor and riot weapons.
Harris looked up to see Buttons riding breakneck up the avenue on a lathered horse. Servants ran out to take the horse. He flung himself off and ran up the steps to the portico.
What happened? Is Bubbles all right?
What do you know about Bubbles?
She took a flitter with the others to White Wings for a few days. She asked me to cover for her. What's happened?
We don't know. We know the flitter's down on that small island north of Bandon, the one you youngsters camped on. We haven't been able to contact her, and Ceci's Captain Serrano has reason to believe she's in great danger.
Yeah. And you want me to do what?
Be my representative with Rescue Force. We expect some opposition.
Opposition?
Captain Sigynd will brief you fully. You'll need your personal gear.
Lift off in 30 minutes, sir.
Right.
Buttons dashed into the hall, as changed as his father from the amiable and rather foolish young man Harris had thought him. Captain Sigynd eyed her thoughtfully.
You want to come along?
Of course we're coming!
The militia captain's eyes never wavered from Harris's. Harris shrugged.
It's your operation. I don't know the terrain, the entire situation, or your troops. If you can find a corner where I won't be in your way, yes. But I'm not going to step on your toes.
Lady Cecilia's bony finger poked her in the back.
Harris, we have weapons!
We have weapons, m'lady, but you have no training, and I've not been on a groundside operation in years. We are superfluous, and we might even be in the way. Captain Sigynd must decide.
Thank you, Captain Serrano. I'm glad you understand. Now, if you and the lady will agree to act under orders, I'm sure we can fit you in.
We had a supply shuttle almost loaded, including personal armor for Lady Cecilia and me, and decent weapons.
Good. Then I can send a squad with you. Expand the standard medical unit. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'll be off. 25 minutes now.
Harris set off for the flitter hangars again, Cecilia in tow. They'd have to change there into whatever clothes Cecilia had packed earlier, or go in hunting attire and look like idiots. It shouldn't bother her after that purple uniform. She knew it wasn't really the clothes that made her feel incompetent. She had never been on a mission as an observer. She had always had a place, a duty. Now her duty was to keep out of the way, stay out of trouble, keep Cecilia out of trouble. It felt wrong.
I wish we could take the horses.
Harris looked over at Cecilia. She was not used to being rushed. The bustle and scurry of the malicious preparation, the need to scramble out of her clothes and into others in the cramped restroom at the flitter hangars, had ruffled her composure, and she had reacted with a string of complaints. The personal armor Harris had insisted she wear under her jacket made her look, Cecilia had said, ridiculous. Harris didn't agree. Nothing looked as ridiculous as holes in one's body. She hadn't said that, since it hadn't been necessary. Harris's own armor felt odd, shaped differently than military issue, but she hoped it would be effective. She hoped even more that they wouldn't need it. The supply flitter's cargo compartment held food, weapons, tools, ammunition, clothes, medical supplies, and flexible plastic tanks of water. With them were four trained medics, two of them full-time militia. A saddle wouldn't have fit aboard, let alone a horse.
Horses? To this island? What good would that do?
I've always said war wouldn't be as bad if I could ride into it. Not that I could ride with this thing on. Another advantage of riding.
You'd be dead before the first stride.
Harris could feel her own breathing tighten. It always did, until the action began, and here she had no way to work it off. The supply flitter, needing no pilots, stayed in position well behind the troop carriers. The medics eyed her as if checking her for stress levels. She made herself open her hands, let them rest lightly on her lap as if she were relaxed.
It's on an island with a forest. Horses are faster over the ground than people.
Bigger target.
Harris didn't want to talk. She never wanted to talk ahead of time. She wanted to pace, to check over the plans she had not made, to see the faces that were not her people look at her the way her people had.
You're nervous.
I am not nervous.
Cecilia did not flinch, but nodded as if it confirmed her opinion.
Not nervous exactly. Just unsettled. It's not the way I'm used to.
Did it bother you when you had command?
Bother me? Yes and no.
Harris knew what Cecilia was doing, trying to keep her focused intellectually, but she did not mind. It might help both of them.
I worried. One always does. About the plan. Was it good enough? Had I missed something? Would people die because of my stupidity? And that includes preparation. Had I trained them well enough, often enough? But beyond that, it didn't bother me. There's a sort of quiet place between the commitment and the combat itself.
I was surprised that you backed away from it. Bunny would have let you.
It wouldn't work. These aren't my people. They don't know me. And I don't know the local situation well enough. The person who doesn't fit in, who doesn't know the people or the terrain, is going to get someone killed. Other people killed. I'm old enough to let someone else do the job for which they're trained and simply chew my nails until it's over.
Ahead, Harris saw the lead carriers spread out. She knew, they had been kind enough to tell her, that they planned to land two on Bandon proper, to secure the island, and two on the island where the flitter had crashed. The supply flitter would land on Bandon behind the others. She could see the smudges of islands ahead, distorted by the curve of the canopy, but she couldn't recognize them. Cecilia prodded her side and pointed. Sunlight glinted off something large and shiny on one of the islands.
Shuttle on the field. Not primed for takeoff. There's nothing on the field with a hot signature. Captain's got the satellite data and thinks there's fewer than a dozen people on Bandon proper, maybe less.
Thanks.
Harris didn't want to sit back here with Cecilia. She wanted to be up there, not even in this flitter, but the lead one. The flitter droned on. The medics, after a long glance out the canopy, went back to checking their gear over and over. The squad leader stared ahead, not speaking. Ahead, the islands rose out of the sea by ones and twos, their forest-clad flanks showing dark against glistening beaches and the glowing blue sea.
The Serrano Legacy Hunting Party is continued on the next CD.